Hello, Poker Minders! Welcome to the PokerPod Psych Edition, where I'm going to talk about everything psychology, from the complexities of human behavior to practical tips for your mental well-being. I'm your host Katja, a licensed clinical psychologist, and today I'm going to poke some minds. Hello, Poker Minders. Thank you so much for tuning in. I would like to spend today's episode talking a bit more about emotions. Since we usually have no issues with embracing emotions such as joy, excitement, peacefulness, confidence, happiness, etc., but rather try to avoid and maybe see it as a flaw to experience anxiety, sadness, anger, frustration, unhappiness, distress, and so on, my focus will be on those unpleasant emotions. I would like to start with talking about emotions in general and what purpose they serve. And spoiler alert, then talk about why it's important to embrace the entire range of emotions that we can feel. We often cannot prevent distressing thoughts and feelings from emerging. And when we try to shut down or remove them, it can instead lead to increased or different problems. For example, using alcohol to get rid of unwanted feelings and thoughts greatly increases the risk of other issues long-term. Constantly trying to avoid unwanted thoughts and feelings also leads to becoming more afraid of them over time, as we continue to believe that we need to flee from them instead of learning that thoughts and feelings themselves cannot harm us. It is also very energy draining to have to push away or denying the existence of unpleasant emotions and maybe even chase the pleasant ones. I think most of us know the term toxic positivity by now. Toxic positivity is referring to the excessive and ineffective overgeneralization of a happy, optimistic state across all situations. It involves dismissing negative emotions and experiences, insisting that people should maintain a positive mindset regardless of the context. This approach can be harmful because it discourages authentic emotional expression, minimizes genuine feelings of distress, and prevents individuals from addressing or acknowledging important emotional psychological challenges. The pressure to appear happy or content at all time can lead to increased stress, emotional suppression, and decreased emotional awareness, which can interfere with personal growth, relationships, and mental health. If you want to have a fun example about toxic positivity, I'd like to recommend the YouTube channel Cinema Therapy to you, especially the episode that is called Therapist Reacts to Inside Out. But of course, it's a very normal reaction to try and avoid unpleasant feelings, or to try to get rid of them as quick as possible. After all, they don't feel very good. And we humans have a lot of different healthy and rather not so healthy strategies to try and rid us of our emotions. I will just name a few defense mechanisms that you most likely have heard from at some point without going into too much detail today, since these maladaptive coping mechanisms deserve at least one episode on their own. Common coping strategies to avoid emotions are distracting, procrastination, substance abuse, overworking, self-harm, or compulsive behaviors. Denial, repression, rationalization, projection and deflection are some of many very effective and dysfunctional ways to push emotions somewhere else. And again, our cognitive distortions come back into play as well. For those of you who watch House of the Dragon, take a closer look at episode 2 if you want to see what projection can look like. All in all, we have a clear goal and many different ways to achieve it when it comes to dealing with our emotions. The reason why those maladaptive strategies can cause long-term problems is because we don't really take the situation into account that got us there. Emotions in general give us very valuable information about our current situation. So what do I mean by that? From a biopsychological perspective, the entire spectrum of emotions plays crucial roles in our survival, social functioning, decision-making, and overall mental health. We simply would not be able to survive without emotions. And that includes the pleasant and the unpleasant ones. When it comes to our survival, basic emotions like fear and anger have clear survival benefits. Fear triggers the fight, flight, or freeze response, which prepares the body to react to potential threats. Anger provides the energy to confront and solve problems or defend against threats. These emotions are deeply ingrained in our biology and are essential for survival. And now a disclaimer ahead. With all the coming examples that I use, every person and situation is unique, and I try to use examples thinking of a person that doesn't have any ongoing psychologically relevant diagnoses such as social anxiety or PTSD, where a lot of different specific environments can be perceived as a threat even though it isn't one. This is, on the contrary, rather for listeners who often might be rationalizing or denying their feelings, saying things like, "Don't be rude and keep interacting with this person, that makes me very uncomfortable." Listening to and trusting your unpleasant emotions can help us recognize and escape an unsafe environment. Emotions also serve as a powerful means of communication, signaling our state of mind and intentions to others without the need for words. Happiness shows contentment and safety. Sadness can elicit sympathy and help, and anger can warn others off. This aspect of emotional expression is vital for maintaining social bonds and navigating social hierarchies. Even our decision-making is driven by emotions. While we often might think of decision-making as a rational process, it is an emotional one. They help us weigh the significance of various options based on our past experiences. For example, disgust can help us avoid harmful substances or unsanitary conditions, and joy can guide us towards behaviors that are beneficial or rewarding. Even small things like choosing what we want to eat is guided by emotions. People that have struggled with depression or feelings of emptiness probably know how hard it is to make choices when you feel devoid of all emotions. And the same applies to motivation. Emotions are crucial for motivation. They propel us toward goals and away from dangers or discomforts. For instance, love and joy can motivate us to seek out social connections and bonding experiences, which are essential for emotional and psychological health. In a negative context, our fear of certain emotions is a big motivator to avoid them at all costs. Our emotions also help maintain psychological equilibrium. For example, sadness can encourage behaviors that lead to emotional support from others, helping an individual recover from loss or disappointment. On the other hand, happiness and satisfaction can indicate that our needs are being met, promoting behaviors that maintain these positive states. Emotions like empathy, love, and trust are fundamental to forming and maintaining strong social bonds. These emotions enhance group cohesion, which historically improved survival rates by facilitating cooperative behaviors and creating a mutually supportive environment. This can also be the reason why someone might be afraid to set boundaries with others. The fear of being singled out from the group can be so extreme that we are willing to tolerate the situation and ignore the unpleasant feeling that the interaction provokes in us. Our emotional responses are also learning tools. When we experience unpleasant emotions as a result of certain actions or decisions, it serves as a feedback mechanism that discourages us from repeating harmful behaviors. Pleasant emotions reinforce behaviors that are likely to result in good outcomes. Pleasant emotions reinforce behaviors that are likely to result in good outcomes. Experiencing a full range of emotions, even those that we don't enjoy feeling, can lead to a greater psychological resilience and understanding. By navigating through various emotional states, individuals develop skills to manage life's ups and downs more effectively, leading to a better mental health and increased fulfillment. Overall, the biopsychological view suggests that emotions, while sometimes challenging, are essential components of our cognitive toolkit. They enrich our lives, enhance our interactions, and ensure our survival in a complex world. And don't get me wrong, there are, of course, moments where pushing emotions away for a little while, like right before you're about to speak in front of 100 or thousands of people, can be useful. But if you push them away for a recurring or ongoing situation, it might be time to use a different strategy. And I know it's hard to balance this fine line, to know when it's okay and adequate to quote-unquote suck it up and push unpleasant feelings aside for a while, and always embracing every single thing we feel and assess the situation. But there are some points that can help us navigate this balance. So when could it be appropriate to suppress feelings? Suppressing feelings as a short-term necessity. In situations where immediate action is needed, such as emergencies or when making quick and critical decisions, suppressing emotions can be beneficial. This allows for a clear-headedness and practicality without the interference of overwhelming emotions. The easiest example I can give you is a doctor or a nurse working in the emergency room. Suppressing emotions for maintaining professionalism. By not letting frustration or panic show, you can keep interactions with others constructive and focused on solving the problem at hand. This helps in maintaining a calm and productive environment. For example, a salesperson that has to deal with a rude customer. When it comes to effective problem solving, temporarily setting aside your emotions about the feedback or situation allows you to think clearly about the necessary steps that you need to take next. For example, imagine that you're working on a critical project at work with a very tight deadline, and you just received feedback that requires significant changes to your approach, which could mean additional hours of work and possibly even missing your personal commitments. In this scenario, suppressing your immediate feelings of frustration or stress could be helpful. And if you find yourself in a leadership role or part of a team, showing that you can handle pressure calmly can inspire confidence in your colleagues and possibly motivate the team to rally and tackle the challenge more efficiently. In professional environments, particularly those that are high stakes or require a neutral approach, it may be necessary to put your personal feelings aside temporarily to maintain professionalism and effectiveness. For an example, maybe you've been feeling overwhelmed and frustrated due to some personal issues at home, but you need to ensure that the project is delivered successfully. We might also suppress emotions to maintain social harmony. There are social contexts where briefly suppressing emotions might prevent conflicts or maintain harmony in a group setting. Maybe you find yourself at a big family gathering and are rather annoyed with one relative's comments. By briefly suppressing your annoyance, you help maintain a positive, harmonious atmosphere, ensuring that the gathering remains enjoyable. However, it's important to note the following. Emotion suppression should be a temporary measure. Long-term suppression can lead to increased stress, anxiety, depression, or burnout, and can even cause physical health problems, such as cardiovascular issues. It's important to be aware of one's emotions, even when choosing to suppress them temporarily. This means acknowledging the feeling internally, even if we are not expressing them outwardly, which can mitigate some negative effects of suppression. We also need to be aware so that we are able to distinguish if this is a short-term necessity or if this is an ongoing struggle or starting to become an ongoing struggle. So, when is it better to process and express our emotions? In general, our long-term mental health benefits. Regularly processing and expressing emotions is vital for long-term psychological well-being. It helps in understanding personal emotional responses and in developing emotional resilience. Being able to express how you feel about your workload, achievements, and challenges can prevent burnout and dissatisfaction. In relationships, regularly discussing your feelings, challenges, and joys maintains the health of relationships and prevents emotional drift. It ensures both parties feel heard and valued over time. If the same situation that causes you distress is happening over and over and over again, it's important to be compassionate. So, a little exercise and self-experiment for you could be to ask yourself, why am I feeling this way? Instead of denying the emotion, stating, I shouldn't feel this way. No matter how ridiculous the answer to that question might seem to you, the answer could be an important key to be able to learn to deal with it in a different way if you want to. When it comes to building and maintaining relationships, openly expressing feelings can strengthen relationships, creating deeper connections and a mutual understanding. When conflicts arise, addressing the emotional aspects openly can help resolve misunderstandings and prevent resentment from festering. This approach fosters a healthier, more collaborative environment. We are all humans. We don't know what the other person is thinking, what they have going on internally, and what it might be doing things that causes unpleasant feelings in us. Expressing feelings of anxiety, excitement, or uncertainty can help others understand your situation better, allowing them to offer appropriate support or advice. Being able to express emotions appropriately is an important key to being true to oneself and maintaining authenticity, which is important for self-esteem and self-identity. Standing up for yourself and articulating your feelings in conflict situations upholds your dignity and ensures your viewpoints are being heard. Being honest about your emotions in new social environments can set a precedent for genuine interactions, helping you form meaningful connections based on true self-expression. Our self-worth tends to decrease when we don't dare to speak up for ourselves and encounter more and more personal boundaries being crossed or having to constantly play a role to please others. Processing emotions can lead to personal growth and insight, helping individuals learn from their experiences and adjust their future behaviors and strategies. It can be very empowering to realize that it's okay to feel unpleasant emotions and that they will pass even without the help of, for example, substances like alcohol to suppress them temporarily. At work, feedback sessions can be an opportunity for personal and professional development. Expressing genuine reactions to feedback and discussing your emotional responses can lead to insights about your strengths and areas of improvement. Discussing your aspirations, fears, and feelings about potential role changes can clarify your career path choices. Open communication about such transitions can facilitate smoother adjustments and better alignment with your true interests and capabilities. Continuous emotional exchange in relationships teaches empathy, understanding, and adaptability, enhancing interpersonal skills. Long story short, there are situations where temporarily suppressing unpleasant feelings is the best thing you can do. And there are a lot of good reasons for us to embrace the entire spectrum of emotions, as we often profit of it in the long run. It obviously doesn't make them any more fun to experience, but they are a vital and powerful tool for you. Hopefully, this knowledge will make it a little bit easier to choose to actually feel what you're feeling. So what tools do we need for dealing with our emotions in a healthy way? Like a broken record, this one keeps coming up. It's mindfulness. Mindfulness, though, being defined as being attentive in a particular way. Specifically, intentionally being in the present moment without evaluating or judging. By practicing mindfulness, we can choose where to place our attention and focus. We might direct our attention inward to better understand our thoughts and feelings, or outward when we get stuck in unhelpful rumination and worry. By focusing on and engaging with the present, we can participate in things that make us feel good and bring meaning to our life. And the other thing we need is acceptance, allowing feelings and thoughts to exist. Experiencing different emotions, pleasant and unpleasant, is a natural part of being alive. No feeling or thought can harm us by itself, but we can suffer unnecessarily depending on how we react to the feeling or thought. We need to be able to experience all emotions without trying to suppress or avoid them. We can learn to view unpleasant feelings and thoughts as wasps without stingers. They may seem dangerous, but we really do not need to run from them. We can practice accepting emotions as they arise and see them for what they are, not more or less. A little exercise for accepting emotions can be that you start to observe and scan your body from top to bottom and focus your attention on the most troubling sensation. Perhaps there's a lump in your throat, or maybe a knot in your stomach. Maybe a stabbing headache. Explore the sensation like a curious scientist. The more familiar you become with the sensation, the less foreign and frightening it becomes. Use your breathing as an anchor. Sensations come and go, some stronger, others weaker, while you remain firmly anchored where you are in the present. Use your breath to get a sense of breathing into and around the sensation, giving it space in your body. Since sensations and emotions are created by your body and exist within your body, they can never be bigger than you are. And even though you might not like the sensation and wish it did not exist, you can let it be. Often thoughts will arise such as, I can't stand this, or I hate this feeling, which you can note and let pass like clouds in the sky. This may take anywhere from a few seconds to several minutes to stop fighting the sensation and allow it to exist. Let it take the time it needs. Whatever emotion that enters your current state of being, see them as a hotel guest that are checking in, staying for a while, but they will also check out again. For today, I would like to leave it at that. If you have any questions or would like to suggest topics, you're always welcome to write to team@pokermind.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope I poked some minds today. See ya!